turns into gold. Everybody knows I got the magic in me. When I hit the floor, the girls come snapping at me. Now everybody wants a blast of magic, 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 magic.
Hello and welcome to a I Want More Comics podcast special. My name is Richie, and I have two very special guests with me today. One is a coworker of mine who's an incredible tabletop gamer, and his name is Tyler. Tyler, say hi.
Hi.
And then even cooler, I managed to wrangle up the elusive fourth owner of I Want More Comics. His name is Todd. Todd, say hi.
Hi.
See, there he is. I told you. It's going to happen. He's on a podcast, and I can't.
I'm leaving. I'm not here for this.
Oh, oh, there's Sean. There's other people here as well.
Bye.
Sean, you get the hell out of my special. So as you probably already can tell, it's a special podcast, and it's not going to be like our normal weekly. You'll have already downloaded that. What we're trying to do is kind of bring into the fold our another aspect of our store, and that is tabletop gaming. For those of you who've listened through the podcast, you know that that's actually the reason I'm here, is to be the gaming manager, and it's kind of a passion of mine. And we thought, and Todd thought it was it'd be a good idea to kind of explain what tabletop gaming is and kind of just have a special about what it is.
Why you should care.
Right. Why care about tabletop gaming? So tabletop gaming in general is an overall definition of anything played on a tabletop. So that be it card games, board games, dice games, miniature war games, or tile-based games. If you play it on a tabletop, shockingly, it's under the broad umbrella of tabletop gaming. For us, it's for us, I feel like tabletop games are, what I explained it today was like Monopoly mixed with Dungeons and Dragons. We've kind of like smashed these elements together of serious gameplay with a string of more intricate rules that kind of guide you, I guess, in a, for lack of a better word, guide you in a different direction than to just say like Sorry was. Sorry was like get across the board.
Shoots and ladders.
Shoots, yeah. And ladders, right.
The two extremes.
Correct.
Somewhere in the middle.
Right. It's exactly. So tabletop games have kind of had a resurgence, I would say. How long have you been tabletopping now? Like seriously getting into it.
And 2 years.
2 years, yeah. That's probably, about,
unless you consider Magic and D&D, but
right. I would say it's been about 3 years for me as well, yeah. where I, my weekly video game group would get together, and we ended up starting playing board games instead, yeah, of video games. Mm-hmm. I think it's a necessary. I think the adjustment came because in the video game world, we used to play online games, and online gaming is great, except you lose that kind of
social connection.
Correct. The social connection in it is it wavers. Like you end up losing. You can still talk crap, but you can't see his face, and that kind of sad to me. So
it's a big difference.
It is. It's a huge difference. It brings. Tabletop gaming has brought back what it felt like to do LAN parties, when everybody had to bring their console to the house and everybody hooked up, and you would, you know, lean over and say, you know, I totally shot you there, you know, blah blah blah, those kind of things. So Todd, how long would you say you've been tabletop gaming?
I picked it back up recently again. I mean I played a lot of games when I was in my teens in the 1980s. For you young pups out there.
1980s? You were a teenager?
Oh, yeah. I was a teenager, oh, wow, in the 1980s.
I was not born yet.
That's right.
Where were you?
I was born in the 80s. We've been over this.
But we would play like the simple base games, you know, Risk and Stratego and those types of games. And tabletop games have evolved a lot over the years from that to,
oh yeah,
you know, what we have now that I would consider the more, you know, or Risk and Stratego are very introductory types of games.
Uh-huh.
But I also played some of the Avalon Hill, you know, War at, yep, Sea, mm-hmm, you know, Tactics 2, mm-hmm, those types of strategy games. And then I put a lot of that stuff away when I went to college, and then I got into Magic and played a lot of the card games and some of the deck builder games.
Absolutely.
And then came back to some of the more tabletop games more recently than that.
And I would say that Magic is a good example of... when it comes to card games, like, a lot of people think when you say tabletop, they just immediately go to Magic. Now,
I disagree.
It's not,
I think they go to poker and to those types of
card games. That's true, too.
You're talking about card games, yeah.
Right. But when I say my friends and I gather to get together and play tabletop gaming, I get a lot of, oh, Magic, and a lot of... especially, and when you say board games, they immediately go to, like, Monopoly or something like that.
That's why I don't use the term board games.
Right. Board games is hard to... That's
very
why...
Generic.
Yeah,
very generic.
It's almost more generic than tabletop, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But for me, I think that there's a whole genre of gameplay out there that a lot of people are unaware of. We're doing our best to get the word out of what those games are, but these are not your... You know, your old board games, like you say, Monopoly and things like that.
Well, when we grew up, we played Monopoly, we played Clue, we played Chutes and Ladders as little kids, and Candyland with our kids, and those types of games. And then you really fall out of board games, and you don't...
You don't continue
with it unless you're actively involved in the community. Maybe you played games like backgammon or cribbage or some of those things that are the more adult games, or you got into the party games like Pictionary and Scattergories and those types of things.
Yeah.
But it was never really, again, like the serious games like I played when I was a teenager that were the more strategy-based games until I found some of them recently. And I think it was probably Settlers of Catan.
I was going to ask what your intro was then.
Right.
Did you say the same, Settlers?
Kind
of?
Same
kind of genre?
That's kind of the big stepping point from, like, all the basic...
Right.
Like,
was this... Which...
Well, Carcassonne was another one that I played early on. But...
And yeah, so I would say that Settlers of Catan was the same for me. It was, you know, for those who haven't played it, it's, I would say, resource management
combined with dumb luck.
Correct. It's a game that takes it.
Sounds about right.
It takes it from your normal base board game and just kind of bumps it up a little bit to be a little bit more intricate, a little more social interaction, and a lot more freedom, I'd say, for the players to kind of move the game itself or shift the idea of the game. This is not one of our favorite games, Todd.
It is not one of my favorite games.
Correct.
No.
I just think it's just too basic at this point.
Correct. Like,
in its time, it might have been like a big deal, but...
In its time, the problem with the mechanics of the game was that there was so much luck involved in the dice rolling that you could just never be in the game.
Yeah.
You weren't always...
A little backstory. Todd is terrible with dice.
The same as Monopoly. I mean, exactly.
Yeah, very much the same.
It's just a cooler game.
Even when I played like Axis and Allies, the original Axis and Allies in the 80s, is there was so much dice rolling that it didn't matter sometimes that strategically you had a better plan than your opponent because you just threw a lot of ones. Or a lot of sixes, depending on which way you wanted the dice to land.
Right.
So in my opinion, Settlers has so much of that luck element, and then you end up with the one person that is unlucky and decides that they're not playing the game anymore. They're done having fun, so they just throw the game towards someone else.
The Board Geek Gamers forum has dubbed that going nuclear. That is me to a T when it comes to Settlers. If I've just blown it, I don't care who wins. Whoever the next person is that asks me if I have anything, I'll give it everything. You need all the sheep to win? There you go. It's all yours.
Let's end this
game over.
As possible.
Correct. Right. The game is done. So, I don't like that element of Settlers. And as I said before, you are terrible with dice, and you need to admit it. You're just garbage when it comes to dice.
I can roll dice as well as the next person.
You cannot.
I roll them just as well. They just come up with worse numbers.
They are terrible numbers.
Physically, he can roll them.
I didn't believe him when he told me he was bad with dice rolls, but oh goodness.
Kill off three characters in three turns and go to winner.
It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Or X-Wing.
So, a couple terms that I wanted to get through with our short podcast here is a Europa game, which is also termed German. German games is also what they kind of do.
Euro.
Euro.
Yeah.
Euro games. when I looked it up, it said relatively simple rules, short playing times, high levels of abstraction and player interaction, and attractive physical components. Now, that can, it's kind of up for debate on a few of those things, but I would say that in general, that's a Europa game is all kind of like an all-in-one game. Everything you need is there.
It really eliminates oftentimes the element of dice. Lot of those games eliminate
your
the
random problems
of the randomness is there. Now a lot of them have cards that'll be turned over in certain orders that will introduce that element a little more.
Uh-huh.
But essentially on all of the Euro games I've played, and they tend to be worker placement games, resource management type of games,
mm-hmm.
but that you can execute a strategy barring other players working towards the same strategy.
Correct.
So it really eliminates that element of I rolled poorly so I lose this game, or you know, I didn't get the resources I needed because of luck. It was mm-hmm. I didn't get the resources I needed because I didn't prioritize where to spend my
right.
my time,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And the other thing is, as opposed to some of the strategy games, Risk and even Monopoly and some of those other games, everyone's in the game until the end of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say that was our favorite part of that is you when you play a Europa game or a Euro game, it's everyone's there until the end.
Right.
And usually around the end is when you find out which strategy works best or who was messing with who the whole game.
Or who executed their strategy the best.
Correct. Those games, in particular for me, are typically my favorite to play. I think that socially they do well. I don't know if it's necessarily short gameplay.
They're not all short.
It can be.
But yeah.
Well, most of them have a finite number of turns that you play.
Yeah.
Right.
So
like it's round not, six
it depends
or something
on,
like that.
Right. Like
it's not like
how
we're
experienced
gonna
you are and all that.
Smash our armies against each other until someone's dead. We've got seven turns in which to do this, or 11 turns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have options to start the game farther along.
Right.
So everyone starts with a certain amount of resources, and you know, so you can speed up the game to some extent that way if mm-hmm. you want to. A lot of them have options for two players that allow you to speed up the gameplay.
Right.
Which is a very loose term, two players.
Super loose, yeah. I would say that one of my favorite Euro games is Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride's definitely
a good one to start with.
Yeah,
I would say that Ticket to Ride is your best bet, even over Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan, I don't think is a Euro game necessarily.
No, but I would say for a tabletop game, Ticket to Ride is almost the way to go.
Yeah.
Over Settlers,
it's like still played monthly in like our group.
In your core group,
yeah, definitely.
And because it's one of those games that, I think it was everything that, you know, when you have that moment during Thanksgiving or Christmas and you're with all your family and you have this idea like we should play Monopoly. That feeling of why you think you should play Monopoly is actually Ticket to Ride. That's why, like, because every time
have
you
fun
get
playing a game, but you never have fun playing Monopoly.
Right. Every time you're halfway through Monopoly, you go, "Why did we play this?"
Right. 6 hours into it.
Right. Like,
so
oh my goodness.
Sit around the table playing a game and
right.
have fun.
Ticket to Ride is that reason that you actually think that way, and it does achieve its goal every time. I've never played a bad game of Ticket to Ride.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's always been fun, regardless of who knows how much or what.
It's a very easy game to pick up. It's a great introductory game.
Mm-hmm. Like less than 15 minutes to learn.
Right.
And you can learn it as you play.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no problem with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any
other Euro games you think that is a good suggestion you could throw out?
Well, we've both played Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah.
That's I haven't played Lords of Waterdeep.
Style game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's based in the Dungeons and Dragons world.
That's my current favorite game.
Right now. Just straight up, that's your favorite game.
Yeah, thematically, I mean, the D&D helps.
Of course.
Right.
But the game itself is just
the game's
really
well done.
Good.
Yeah. So, I actually like Agricola better.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've played that or not.
I've not played it.
I have not either.
I played that several times. One of my friends had it and we would play it. I think that game really allows you to execute a strategy because you go through and draft cards before the game,
uh-huh.
which allow you to execute your strategy, you know, work the cards in the resource collection mm-hmm. worker placement parts work together, so you can really tailor a strategy at the beginning of the game that you can then execute throughout the game. So I think it adds another element to it, because there's some of that in Lords of Waterdeep, where everyone's got the different character, and either you're trying to build places.
You have no idea what everybody's actually doing. Right. Until
in both of these games, is there like an RPG? Because you said D&D, is there an RPG element to those?
It's thematic.
It's just I'm rogue, and that kind of rogue.
No, it's Lords of Waterdeep is based in the Dungeons and Dragons world.
Yeah, you're giving quests to. Right. You're not doing quests. You're giving.
Oh,
quests.
Excellent!
And then you got to collect
the payment.
You got to mm-hmm. collect warriors and stuff to do the quest.
Excellent, right?
But it's just based in the Forgotten Realms world in Dungeons and Dragons. Agricole is not. It's just an excellent game.
It's just out there.
Power Grid's another very good one. Have you played? I like Power Grid quite a bit. I know I've played with some people that don't necessarily like Power Grid, but it's a good tension in that game, resource management versus short-term gains versus long-term payoffs. Right. I think it's got a good mechanic going on there.
I like that.
So I don't know that I've ever really played a Euro game that I just didn't like.
I was going to say the same thing. No. I mean, at the worst, a Euro game is fun.
Right.
just fun.
Yeah.
So let's go from there into another unique thing that I don't think a lot of people know about, but that's the co-op game, where it's you and your friends versus the board itself. Every time we get someone new to a Tabletop Tuesday or a Gamer Geek Gathering, especially when we were doing them last year, every time I brought one of my friends that don't typically board game to it, they were like, "What do you mean we don't go against each other?"
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, we're actually going against the board this time. I think it's a unique type of play that helps people, especially people that don't play a lot of tabletops. You can play with veterans on that aspect and kind of lean into understanding resource management and communication and things like that. It works great for party games and such, where you have the overly competitive people. I'm winking and pointing at Todd.
Board gaming is very is relatively recent.
Absolutely.
The cooperative style of games is relatively recent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a good innovation on some of the and again, they came off of the Euro games where everyone was in the game until the end, and then the either we win or lose as a team.
Right.
Part of it was, I think, a really excellent way to go.
The design of those games, now co-op games can find themselves to be poor games because the design, the mechanics aren't working, but the ones that work are incredibly well done, and they create, the thing I really enjoy about co-op games is usually co-op games start very nonchalantly. It's very easy.
It seems like it's going to be
the
easy.
Pace, you're like, oh, this is it.
The big one's Pandemic.
Pandemic is a great example.
Yeah, towards halfway through the game, you're like, we're not going to be able to do this. We are all going to die. This is not going to happen.
By your last round, everyone's like, okay, you need to hit this roll.
It gets very intense and panicky between everybody. It's not like one person needs to do something. Everybody needs to do everything.
Yeah, it's a great, and that's what I love about the co-op game is that, especially with the start out, everything kind of goes slow and it just starts building up.
Well, something that you've done that I would like to do is one of the escape rooms, one of the clue rooms.
Oh, yes.
Where you really need people working together to solve the puzzles or to, in this case, solve the board in the most efficient way so you can be successful.
Mm-hmm. And those are perfect examples of that. Pandemic is one of my favorites. I introduced a couple of my friends to that and they just had to buy the game, and every time we go out, that's what's done. Forgotten Island is one of my favorites.
Forbidden Island
is one of my favorites. Definitely. It's also one of the easier ones.
Seas Rising.
The island itself is sinking. You gotta build the
Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Desert is the ship,
escape,
the airship. Yeah. Great games, and kids can play those. Forgotten Island, Forbidden Desert.
Yeah, definitely.
Those games are great.
You're a big fan of Dead of Winter as well.
I love Dead of Winter.
I love Dead of Winter. It's a great game.
I was going to actually add those into a weird cooperative, potentially
trader. Co-op games with a trader.
So it's another
potential.
With the potential.
There's not a
never
trader
100%.
Ever
never 100%. Well, it can be.
Betrayal is always.
So there are games like Dead of Winter, Betrayal, and Resistance where the game itself kind of lends itself to lying, deception, and with my group of friends, that's fantastic.
And Richie loves those games.
Oh, yeah. Do I love those games.
I love Richie's a lying little...
I am not a lying anything.
The entire Resistance universe. I love everything.
Yes. Great. In fact, I would say that... Coup is how Tyler and I really became friends.
Oh, yeah. Coup is a great game. Yeah. I love it.
Coup is much more fun than Resistance.
Tyler and I...
I could see why you'd think that. I think Coup is one of the best games ever. That just hands down. It's so good.
So these are games where you are all playing essentially what is the same role, but there is a potential, not even guaranteed, especially like in Dead of Winter, of someone that's working against you secretly.
Yep. Betrayal, somebody ends up working against you and they don't know
you.
It until...
Betrayal's,
you don't know who it is.
Yeah, you know, it's random who becomes the bad guy.
Betrayal's an amazing cooperative game that takes a twist and changes into an entirely different game at the end.
Sometimes early on, actually, which makes it really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Hard to win.
The great thing about...
Turn one. Okay, we're dead.
The great thing about those games is what's the Gloom? Is it Gloom?
Yeah, card game.
Gloom, yeah.
Card game Gloom.
Yeah.
Gloom, Resistance, Avalon, Coup. These games I enjoy, and I know that Todd's not a huge fan of this, where it forces social stimulation.
Yeah.
Where the game you have will be based upon the people surrounding you. Which is necessary for all tabletop games, I would say.
I mean, some co-op games can turn into just one guy telling everybody what to do.
Right.
But in
these games like Resistance, there are a group of people with a tiny group of spies, and you don't know who's who.
Yeah.
And you essentially just start yelling at each other until it's done.
And everybody's lying.
Yeah, every single person. I've never had a bad game.
Yeah, Todd's always lying.
And Todd is always... That's absolutely true.
Rule of thumb.
Yeah. Anytime you play Todd, he's the bad guy. So those games are great and fantastic for me. And the other one I wanted to bring up is the newer type of legacy games. We haven't
had a chance to play them.
We haven't dived into Legacy yet, but the concept is that it's essentially the game...
Evolves
with you. So you continue to build your character and your resources through the game as it expands into further and further the universe. Pandemic is one of them that we're trying to get into. I'm fascinated by that kind of element.
Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah, just Legacy in general, that type of gameplay.
So I'm interested. The one that I want to try is the Time Stories.
Yeah, Time Stories.
Definitely.
Because the thing with a Legacy game is that you need to have the same group that plays it each time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a committed gaming group to do it, it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to go through this several times, you know, as the game evolves. In Time Stories, you're playing through the same story until you solve the mystery.
Yeah.
Right.
So you get more clues as you go until you solve the mystery, which seems to me... It seems to me more enjoyable as a group than like with Risk Legacy, where potentially if you suck the first couple of times through, you're just going to suck throughout.
You're just done.
What's my motivation to keep going back?
Yeah, right.
So the cooperative part of Pandemic or Time Story seems to me like it might be more appealing than the combative part of Risk.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are all great examples. I really want us to get into Legacy. It's also something that I... because I have a core group of friends that game every week. Yeah. And I think that building upon a game and kind of growing with that, I feel like it's kind of like the first time you beat in a co-op game, you first beat the board.
Yeah.
You're just super excited. I can't imagine the first time you beat a Legacy and be done with the chapter.
Or the second time you beat it.
Right. I guess it would be the second time. So
the third or fourth.
Yeah, like depending the on how 12th many, time yeah. you beat it is right. probably going to be...
Yeah, I don't even know how they're going to do Pandemic, all those. But they've got, four different...
Four already, yeah.
Yeah, four different ones for Pandemic. And Time Stories has three or four stories that you can play through now.
Correct,
yeah.
So, and what's the Seafall?
Seafall's a Legacy.
It's going to be a Legacy game.
I'll be all over that. So.
Very interesting.
If you want to play Seafall, get in contact with me. Richie, I want more comics. So, with that, I want to explain what we, the store, are doing.
I also want to touch on deck building games real quick.
Oh, no, we don't have any time for deck building. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, you're not a fan?
The classic ones are Dominion and Ascension. I think that everyone's familiar. Yeah. I mean, most people are somewhat familiar with those as far as deck building games, but where everyone has a beginning deck and then you purchase additional resources to make your deck better.
Right. So there's three different types that I looked up, and there's a CCG, which is collectible card game. And that is...
Not a deck builder.
Right. Then there's a CDG, which is a card-driven games.
Okay.
And then there's LCG, living card games.
Yep.
So the difference being in a collectible card game is that you randomly acquire cards. You don't know what's in the stuff that you're getting to produce a deck that you then compete against someone else's deck that doesn't have to be the same as yours. A living card game...
I feel like there's a tiny game that... We could compare that to
Pokemon.
There you go. Perfect. Pokemon. Yeah.
That's what
you
No. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
There
it is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's Magic.
Magic. Right.
Nobody plays that game.
Whereas a living card game, everyone has access to the exact same cards when the expansions come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you customize your deck based on the expansions. But we all have access to the exact same things. We can all buy the exact same things for the exact same price. There's no trading involved. I have all the cards immediately. And there's several of those. I think the most popular is Netrunner.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a Star Wars card game.
Yeah.
There's been several others, but I think Netrunner is probably the most successful of them.
We got to talk about our favorite. That's Star Realms.
And Star Realms is then a deck builder.
Correct.
Which is the third type. And a deck builder, like I said, the most famous ones, I think, are going to be Dominion and Ascension. Mm-hmm. Both of them have been around for a long time.
Legendary.
The Marvel Legendary.
That game kind of blew up.
Yeah. Right, it definitely blew up. It really started with Dominion and then Ascension, and those have both been around for quite a while. I have a lot of expansions to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them. And they've done rip-offs or spin-offs of all kinds of different ones. See, like they did a Lord of the Rings.
They each have 20 expansions.
Right, and then like there was Lord of the Rings, collectible card. You know, the deck builder. Yeah. And there's been a number of thematic ones that have been done, so that if you really are into a universe, you could play that.
I will say
you played the DC one.
Yes,
right?
I have.
DC,
DC deck builders.
But I will say that concept blew me away. Like, I had gotten into Magic, and one of the things that deters me from Magic is that I'm a poor guy. So I don't like the concept of maybe dropping $140 on a deck to become better at a certain type or against something.
It feels pay to play.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And when you introduced me to Star Realms, Todd, when you were like, now we put all of these here.
And now Star Realms is my favorite.
It gives it a whole other level.
Of the collectibles. Star Realms is my favorite of the deck building games, because one of my problems with the deck building games is you're never sure who wins until the end of the game, and then you add up your deck points and all
It's point based.
Right. Whereas in Star Realms, it's funny because I like Euro games rather than the tactical games a lot of times. But Star Realms is a straight combative game where my path to victory is beating my opponent.
Yeah.
It was
made by Magic players.
So it's Ascension.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but
it's Ascension.
It doesn't have the magic like I'm gonna just kill you.
Right.
That's the whole point of the game is I'm gonna kill you.
Right.
Most deck builders, I'm just gonna get as much points as possible.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
And it's a mystery. And like you could have the most victory points heading into the end of the game, and then you add up your deck. You know, I'm way ahead. You add up your deck, and you've got way more points than I do. So I lose a game that seemingly I was clearly ahead in.
Yeah.
That always was a feel bad.
Yeah, like DC has like the people, and you just get different points for different things you have.
But that's always a feel bad situation where it's like, I was ahead 70-10 when we triggered end of game, and I lose. Yep. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, Star Realms usually.
Star Realms,
you
just know.
You're gonna who's about to win that game.
Yes,
right. And the greatest part about for Star Realms for me is when I buy the expansion, I know that I'm adding for me and my friends gameplay. It's not just me. It's whoever grabs the ship first, who's ever managing their resources better, and things like that. So that part of the deck builders are what I enjoy most.
Right. Everyone starts with the same resources. Mm-hmm. There's certainly randomness on how things come up.
Yeah. You can get lucky.
You can get lucky.
It involves shuffling decks and drawing cards.
Have either of you played Mystic Veil yet?
I've not played Mystic Veil yet.
No.
You played with Andrew,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that game is just, it's got a Star Realms type feel. I would call it more of a...
Is that the one that the cards...
They're in the sleeves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of build upon...
Better or whatever.
Right, but, yeah, so it starts out with...
Them. Yeah, modify
Yeah, it
cards,
starts out with a card that does one ability, and then you're adding the second ability, and then you add the third ability to the point where you, when you flip that card, it does really amazing things on
and
the
that's like having...
Threat.
It's kind of like having, like, bases and Star Realms
Correct.
Or whatever.
Yeah, like, it's exactly like that, except for when you look at the board, it's like someone buying the cards in front of you, and you're just very aggressive at that. It's fantastic.
So gaming, I mean, that covers the basics of them.
That is, that's pretty much it.
And again, it's as simple as bingo and you know, chutes and ladders to
Blackjack.
As complex as, as complex as
Dungeons and Dragons.
Or, you know, we didn't even get into the miniature style games.
Oh, yeah, minis.
We don't do a whole lot of that here. You know, Star Wars minis, we do sometimes the X-Wings.
X-Wing is a huge thing.
Warhammer 40K.
Right, but there can be... they get very complex.
The thing that we wanted to bring to everyone's attention is we have spaces available to you, because as a consumer, the biggest thing about buying a game is it going to be fun? Most of these price points are around, you know, $40 to $60. And the best way, it's the worst when you purchase something to find out it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
The way to get around that is we provide a service called Tabletop Tuesday.
Come on in and try it out.
Every Tuesday at 6:30, I bust out as many games as I can for all of us to play, where you get the opportunity to see if this is something that you could introduce to your friends or if it's your style of gameplay. The thing that introduced me was a show called Tabletop. I watched them play it. I realized that game was good, and then I experienced it with my friends.
Too.
And it's just...
Changed my life.
Yeah, it really did. It absolutely did.
Definitely.
I can't tell you... it brings you closer to the people around you when you're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, I met Tyler through gaming. He's a friend of mine because of Tabletop.
I quit playing video games for Tabletop games.
Yeah, and it's not a drastic loss in that type of style of play. You're still getting that stimulation, you know, you're still getting the excitement that you get from video games and things like that.
I would argue it's a gain.
Yeah,
you meet people. We have people coming in on Tuesdays that we've never met before that they come in and they play, and it's a chance to meet people that you may not. And so, you know, if you're just plugging into your Xbox and even if you play with a group of friends online like you do, you're playing with the same people every time.
Absolutely.
So having a chance to meet new people, you know, I think is one of the things that really pulled tabletop gaming back into, you know, public consciousness. It kind of is the pendulum swings back and forth between technology, where technology is really a good thing in adding to our life, and where technology becomes all consuming and doesn't allow us to get out of the house, and you know, and that's, we saw that with Pokemon Go, where technology really kind of interacted with the real world in a way to get people out of the house.
I know so many kids that were like, what is this weird strange substance? I was like, it's grass.
Why are all these weird people walking around outside?
The burning ball in the sky.
Have you been to the park like at nighttime?
It's
insane.
Yeah.
But so Tuesdays is a great opportunity to come and experience that exact thing. From there, every time we put something together, I always get like, oh, does it have to be Tuesday? Oh, man, can it be Thursday? What about Wednesday morning? What about this? So I've also added... we have tables here
anytime.
All the time.
We're open 10 to 10.
If you have a game and a group of friends, come over here and play. If you need help setting it up, I will be there to do so. Between the three of us, for sure, we know a ton of games. And if we don't know, we'll talk to the person that does.
Yeah.
Todd can sell you a few games that I've never played. I can sell you that I haven't played. And Tyler knows all. So, I mean,
Tyler
you can just...
Tyler knows all.
He does. He just knows
all. I don't talk a whole lot.
Yeah, but
do
if
not.
You find
I
him...
Do not talk.
If
work
you can,
in the shadows
like a,
and I don't talk.
Where's Waldo of our store? If you can find Tyler, you can ask him a question. So,
but beyond Tuesday nights, we're bringing back monthly game days.
Correct. So the whole reason I started... working here. It started with me coming to Todd and asking if I could host a international tabletop day event. And he was like, sure, why not?
Why
and
not?
Since then,
cool.
Every month I would put together, because I know that people out there have lives. You have kids. You have work.
Jobs.
You have jobs. There's just so many things that can get in the way of plans. So I figure 1 month, one day out of a month.
What's 1 day a month?
Just all of January. Be all, here all of January.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fantastic. But, you know, 1 day a month that you can know that it's coming. You can try to get as many people as you want. And the amount of games that Tyler and I alone
it's full tables just stacked with games.
Come and make it worth our expense that right. We'd love for people to play these games. This month we actually have we're gonna kick it off again with the game, mm-hmm. the monthly Gamer Geek Gathering, as I dubbed it. We are going to
give him the authority to do that.
I gave myself the authority to do this.
He's real good at naming things.
I'm really
You're
good
real
at
good at naming things.
Yeah.
Tabletop Tuesday.
There was sarcasm in that, but
I don't recognize sarcasm.
Me too. I didn't even try.
So the Gamer Geek Gathering that will happen, this will be Sunday the 30th. It's going to be right after your awesome parties for Halloween and right before you take the kiddos out for actual Halloween. So come in on Sunday. We start at noon and we go till whenever. I'm going to shut it down at 8. I figure 8 hours is plenty of time, but games can go till 10.
I can only be here till about 5.
Right. So it's really expansive from there, but show up at noon. We're going to have a ton of games, a ton of people that you can learn to play with.
In all kinds of different games. We're definitely gonna have some Halloween themed games.
We got it.
Dead of Winter, Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Big one.
With the expansion. Yep.
The expansion that just came out, which we have in the store now.
Right. Mysterium.
Yeah.
Possibly Mysterium, which is excellent.
Didn't even mention that for some reason.
Great cooperative game.
So good.
Great cooperative game. But beyond that, we'll have games that are appropriate for kids, for the whole family. You want to play mm-hmm. something with, you know, you want to bring in your
games that take 5 minutes, games that take 2 hours.
Yeah.
They're all there.
And everything in between have there. So
And on at the same time on that day, we have, I believe, Halloween Comic Fest going on that day as well.
It's the day before.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
So
we'll have
that whole weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a Halloween bash weekend. So that's the day we'll start it, and we'll have another one the following month. It will be on Sundays, so everybody can, you know, relax. And, you know, I think gaming is a great thing to do right before having to focus back on your work week and everything like that.
Yeah. And we have a big screen TV that will have the Bronco game on.
That's correct. You're not going to worry about
missing the Bronco game if you want to watch mm-hmm. that. You can multitask.
It can be a big problem for people.
It can be.
And we also have, you can eat, areas to eat. There's not, you know, it's just a place to chill and have fun. Did I mention that it's all free? You don't owe
I don't think
dime?
You mentioned that part.
Yeah.
This I was is waiting all free. For the price.
Yeah. I don't, it's not about making a profit. It's about getting like-minded people together.
Right? Building a community.
That's exactly it. I'm trying to get as many tabletop people together as I can and really have a good time with this genre. Yeah.
We want to play games with more people.
Correct. And I think it's
starting
to grow.
I get tired of beating Richie every time we play.
Exactly.
That is ludicrous. I can't even...
I don't know if he's ever won a game.
What is that? Yeah. What are you talking... Wow. So if you haven't noticed, I get it from everyone that works here. So
it's not just Frank Miller. It's everyone.
Pulling from the other podcast.
You gotta try. You gotta do it.
You thought I was safe. You think I was safe. Anyway, I hope that when you listen to this, that we give some semblance of an idea of that we are passionate about it. If you have any questions at all, you can send me an email at richie@iwantmorecomics.com
or
you
can come in and talk to us.
Yeah. Come in, have a conversation with me. And especially if you have a group of friends that you want a game with and you don't have a place to be and want to know when we have available times, talk to me. I'm absolutely happy with building a repertoire with times, and your friends can come over to my place and build every night. We'll clean up. Tyler's great.
Sure. Totally.
So, I mean, is there anything else you guys want to add? I mean, Todd, this is your first time on the podcast of your store. How excited are you?
Very excited.
You are. That's fantastic.
You can't tell.
I do not recognize sarcasm on this podcast. I really do appreciate you guys coming in and talking, because I do respect your guys' opinions as gamers, and I think you add a legitimacy to me that I don't command myself. So.
Well, I agree with that.
I like it.
This is the end of the special. Again, there will
be
another.
We want to see y'all on Sunday the 30th.
Sunday 30th, noon. Be there.
Absolutely.
Totally. I will be. I'm also. I didn't even mention, but I this is a secret, but I made a bunch of signs with a friend of mine. So we'll have like the escape room signs that said like "We beat the board" or "I'm the betrayer." So you can take photos of that.
Love it.
It'll be awesome. So, again, if you enjoyed this, let us know. I'll try to create more specials about specific areas of the store. If you want to know more about tabletop, let me know. I'll try to get these guys together again if I can. It's like pulling teeth, but I will do it for you guys. So until next time, thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Rest your way.